Well, one summer on the farm, we decided to become more green by doing rotational grazing. Every week, we would move the cows to a new small section of lush alfalfa so they will eat it all and then move them onto the next section. After the fourth week, we would repeat on the same section of land so that the cows would always be eating alfalfa at the peak of nutrition and also delicious taste. The benefits are savings in labor, fuel, and machinery because you do not need to harvest the alfalfa and bring it to the cows. And it also should make for happier cows because you get to eat fresh alfalfa. The problem is cows are creatures of habit. They follow the exact same precise routine every moment of their lives. Now, we always let our cows enjoy a spacious exercise lot with shaded trees. And they get down there, they could walk down a 20-foot wide lane. Yet all 118 cows travel on a single path that was just 14 inches wide. Now, if you notice, livestock do this all the time. And not only do they follow the same path, they use the same stride and they step in the exact same spot. So if you ever look at a livestock path out in nature and you see a wet spot, you'll notice that there's humps like this. That's because they're always stepping in the exact same spot day after day after day. And we would actually have to go out there and smooth out the path so they wouldn't trip themselves over these humps that they would develop. So the plan was to graze these cows in the field right beside the lane. We would open up a section of fence, and since we knew that they were creatures of habit, we put up this six-strand blaze orange fence to guide them into the lush alfalfa. Now, the first day, the cows walked single file down the path until the lead cow reached that fence, guiding them into the lush alfalfa. And the cow stopped, and it looked at that big barricade of the fence, and it looked over at the lush alfalfa. But then the cows behind her started bellowing and complaining, "What's the hold up here?" So she put down her head and ran right through the fence, and all the cows followed her, and several of them cut themselves up, and we had to bandage them up, but thankfully they all recovered. So the second day we decided, we'll make a human fence. Well, that made them even less undeterred. They just put down their heads and ran right through us on their normal path. But we thought, we're determined, we're smarter than cows, at least we think. So the third day, we parked a tractor and a wagon across there. The cows jumped up onto the wagon and over, and again, several of the cows were hurt. So we thought, we're smarter than cows. So the next day, we loaded them into a trailer and drove them to the center of the field. But we could only get four cows in the trailer at a time, so this took us almost all day to get them in there. But we thought, you know, maybe once they've experienced this nice lush alfalfa, this thing that's so much better for them, that maybe they'll want to come back. So the next day, we built this huge metal fence, and we even welded sheet metal onto it. So we made a 10-foot barricade, and we parked two tractors behind it to reinforce it. And do you know that the cows, for about 2 hours, they banged their heads against it, they kicked, they leaned on it, but finally, one brave cow stepped out into the alfalfa, and then they all followed. But it took about 40 days of our influence and the power of an outside force before the cows followed their new and much better for them path. Now, certainly, all of us are much, much, much smarter than cows. However, we do have an instinctive drive to follow habits and familiar behaviors. In fact, experts have found that when someone is faced with an opportunity or challenge or anything different in their life, the first thing that we do is to try to follow some old habit or a familiar pattern of behavior or some known problem-solving technique that we have used in the past, even if a much better option is presented to us. And system analysis has found that whenever change, even wonderful, good, positive change that we want to make is presented to someone or a group, the initial reaction is almost always, change back. Let's go back to the old way of doing things. Forming a new habit, embracing change takes hard, intentional work and the power of an outside force. An open-minded person committed to change in behavior usually needs to do that new behavior for about a month before that new way is accepted and becomes of pattern of behavior. And even then, sometimes in a moment of stress, we'll quickly lapse back into those old way of doing things. This is why New Year's resolutions are so very, very hard to keep. Our scripture invites us to improve our life by harnessing the power of an outside force, the power of the Holy Spirit. Every form of light we experience is an invitation from God to shine. Today is Epiphany and Baptism of the Lord Sunday. The recommended scripture celebrates God's power to transform, restore, renew, and make all things and everyone beautiful, symbolized by light, and urges us to receive and utilize God's power through baptism, to live more and more like Christ, to live more and more abundantly. Put together, the scriptures invite us to access the power of God to live a loving life. And we begin at the very beginning. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. Our English translation loses most of the immense contrast between the dark, formless void and the light. In the Hebrew, the dark, formless void is chaos, confusion, disorder, destruction. But all of that is brought under control by God's light, which is peace, order, understanding, control. There is supreme power in God's Word. And we have God's Word in the Bible. The wind sweeping over the waters was foreshadowing the salvation by the Holy Spirit, which we receive, symbolize, experience, and celebrate through baptism. The prophet Isaiah foretold the transforming power of God's light through Jesus. "Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see. For the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth. But the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. Look and see, for everyone is coming home. Your sons are coming from distant lands. Your little daughters will be carried home. Your eyes will shine and your heart will thrill with joy. For merchants from around the world will come to you. They will bring you the wealth of many lands. Vast caravans of camels will converge on you, the camels of Midian and Ephah. The people of Sheba will bring gold and frankincense and will come worshiping the Lord." Jesus is identified as the light of the world, the source of life and love. Wise people follow the light. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem village, Judea territory, this was during Herod's kingship, a band of scholars arrived in Jerusalem from the east. They asked around, "Where can we find and pay homage to the newborn king of the Jews? We observed a star in the eastern sky that signaled his birth. We're on a pilgrimage to worship him." When word of the inquiry got to Herod, he was terrified. And not Herod alone, but most of Jerusalem as well. Herod lost no time. He gathered all the high priests and religion scholars in the city together and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" They told him, "Bethlehem, Judea territory. The prophet Micah wrote it plainly. It's you, Bethlehem, in Judah's land, no longer bringing up the rear. From you will come the leader who will shepherd rule my people, my Israel." Herod then arranged a secret meeting with the scholars from the east. Pretending to be as devout as they were, he got them to tell him exactly when the birth announcement star appeared. Then he told them the prophecy about Bethlehem and said, "Go find the child. Leave no stone unturned. As soon as you find him, send word, and I'll join you at once in your worship." Instructed by the king, they set off. Then the star appeared again, the same star that they had seen in the eastern skies. It led them on until it hovered over the place of the child. They could hardly contain themselves. They were in the right place. They had arrived at the right time. They entered the house and saw the child in the arms of Mary, his mother. Overcome, they kneeled and worshipped him. They opened their luggage and presented gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. In a dream, they were warned not to report back to Herod, so they worked out another route, left the territory without being seen, and returned to their own country. Ultimately, God's light will illumine all for eternity. Revelation explains how one day all of us will enjoy the waters of baptism and the power of God's light. Then the angel showed me water of life river, crystal bright. It flowed from the throne of God and the Lamb right down the middle of the street. The trees of life was planted on each side of the river, producing 12 kinds of fruit, a ripe fruit for each month. The leaves of the tree are for healing the nations. Never again will anything be cursed. The throne of God and the Lamb is at the center. God's servant will offer God's service. Worshipping, they will look on God's face, their foreheads mirroring God. Never again will there be any night. No one will need lamplight or sunlight. The shining of God, the Master, is all the light anyone needs. And they will rule with God age after age after age. Well, all of us have access to the power of God's light through baptism. The Gospel of Mark explains how baptism enables us to make radical, positive life changes. How baptism enables us to turn from sin, to turn away from the dark, to God, to light, to life, to love. John the Baptizer appeared in the wild, preaching a baptism of life change that leads to a forgiveness of sins. People flocked to John from Judea and Jerusalem, and as they confessed their sins, were baptized by John in the Jordan River into a changed life. As John preached, he said, "The real action comes next. The star in this drama, to whom I am a mere stagehand, will change your life. I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. Jesus' baptism, a holy baptism by the Holy Spirit, will change you from the inside out." At this time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. The moment Jesus came out of the water, Jesus saw the sky split open and God's Spirit looking like a dove come down on Jesus. Along with the Spirit, God's voice, "You are my Son, chosen and marked by my love. You bring me great joy." The Apostle Paul revealed that repentance and desire to make a positive change is not enough. We need to embrace and utilize the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul made his way down through the mountains, came to Ephesus, and happened on some disciples there. The first thing Paul said was, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you take God into your mind only, or did you also embrace God with your heart? Did God get inside you?" We've never even heard of that, a Holy Spirit, God within us. "How were you baptized then?" asked Paul. "In John's baptism." "That explains it," said Paul. "John preached a baptism of radical life change so that people would be ready to receive the one coming after him, who turned out to be Jesus. If you have been baptized in John's baptism, you are ready now for the real thing, for Jesus." And they were. As soon as they heard of it, they were baptized in the name of the Master Jesus. Paul put his hand on their heads, and the Holy Spirit entered them. From that moment on, they were praising God in several languages and talking about God's actions. Thomas Troger wrote, "Repentance alone is a lot like making resolutions without having found or nurtured the resources needed to keep them. When Paul lays his hands on the disciples, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Now they had more than repentance. They had the power to live out the resolutions, to live a new life." Luke is writing about a profound spiritual truth. It is not adequate to simply repent, to resolve to lead a new life. We need the power, the resiliency, the breath, the flame, the buoyancy of the everlasting springs of life, the energies of the Holy Spirit in order to sustain the best intentions of our resolutions and repentance. Breathing Underwater, Spirituality in the 12 Steps, explains it this way. The surrender of faith does not happen in one moment, but is an extended journey, a trust walk, a gradually letting go, unlearning, and handing over. To finally surrender ourselves to healing, we have to have three spaces opened up within us, and all at the same time. Our opinionated head, our closed down heart, and our defensive and defended body. That is the work of spirituality. It is finally the work of a power greater than ourselves, and it will lead to great luminosity and depth of seeing. All of us need to follow the light. All of us should make a resolution that identifies a specific way that we can become more like Christ. Since we are creatures of habit, change will be very challenging. If we are going to move from the dark to the light, from fear to love, if we're going to make a positive change, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Most people are pretty good at repentance. We're able to name our mistakes. We can list the ways that we can become a better person. We are able to reflect on the light of God in our life. We are really good at listing out our resolutions. But it is not enough to passionately desire change. If we're truly going to change, we need the power of God. The Holy Spirit empowers each of us in unique ways. So, I'm sorry, I don't know exactly what it is you need to do to harness the power of the Holy Spirit. But here are a few ideas, and perhaps some of these suggestions will empower you with the Holy Spirit. Prayerfully pick one resolution that will make you more Christ-like, and write it down. Focus on this one item for 2 months until it becomes a habit. Pray for God to fill you, for God to enable you to make that change every day. Find, write down, and read a scripture that speaks to the change you are making. Tell others about your desired change and ask them to pray for you and encourage you. Open your mind. Identify thought patterns that inhibit your change. Give them to Jesus. Let go of them. Hand them over. And identify positive thoughts that can replace those inhibiting thoughts. And the moment a negative thought comes into your mind, replace it with that positive one. Open your heart. Feel and sense how this change will make you more loving. Open your body, maybe by taking a walk or relaxing and then thinking and feeling the benefits of your desired change. Imagine yourself yoked to Jesus, partnering with Jesus. Pay attention to God's guidance. Find a way to put your desired change into action by somehow utilizing it to serve others. Utilize it in worship. Praise God with it. Praise God for God's light. Praise God for God's power to help you make that change. Remember your baptism. Invite God to sculpt you more and more into God's likeness. Imagine God's delight in watching you live your change. Keep asking good questions and listen for the Spirit's answer. Maybe questions like, how is your desire change revealing more and more the most excellent way of love? Or how is your change shining more light into your life or into someone else's? How will your change be passed on, leaving a legacy of light? How is your change bringing more of heaven to earth? I don't know how you need to harness the power of the Holy Spirit, but I am certain you have access to God's endless power, the source of all light, love, and life. You have access to God's supreme power that will ultimately resurrect and perfect all. Keep following God's light and integrating light into your life every night, we die to sin. But every morning, we rise to newness of life and we have a sunrise. God is eager to fill you with God's Spirit, to give you rejuvenated life, to give you a rejuvenated heart, will, and vision, to make your hopes, dreams, and all your resolutions a reality. Enlightened, empowered by God, you can keep all your resolutions and shine. Amen.